Moncrief on News Talk.
Happy Bloomsday! The action of James Joyce's Ulysses is set on June 16th, 1904. But as the various characters made their way around Dublin, what did it smell like? Maeve McCurtain is a perfumer based in Paris who's been working on exactly that. Maeve, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, you've been working in conjunction with Christine O'Neill, who's a scholar on this kind of thing.
I have. We started this project about 2 years ago, and it's really been the most interesting and fascinating project. I've really loved it. It's been my favorite project I've worked on so far. And so Christine is an expert in Joyce, and she really helped me like find and identify all the passages in Ulysses which contain references to scent. And there are so many. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Now, is it specifically where the text refers to a scent, or something might be happening that would have had a scent?
It's both, but we really tried to identify it. We worked on, I made 14 scents for this exhibition, and we wanted to, Joyce uses the full spectrum of scent, from scent related to a place like O'Rourke's Bakery, Sweeney's Pharmacy, scent as ritual, like incense from the Catholic Church, and the shaving ritual, which is the opening paragraph of the book. And scent is grief, for example, when he thinks about his mother haunting him. Scent is, there's also a fetish element to it too. Scent is, he really explores all the aspects of scent, and that's what's so fascinating, even like longing, unconsummated love. I think Joyce must have been, he was such a sensualist, and he really loved the sense of smell.
Yeah, well, if you ever read his letters to Nora, there was a bit of an eye-opener. I water her in some cases as well, actually, come to think of it. Some of those things are emotional rather than an actual scent.
Yeah, that's what I found so interesting, was that, you know, some of them are direct references to scent, but some of them are more subtle. For example, I made one called Almost No Smell Flower, and I really love making that because often as a perfumer, I'm asked to make, you know, something that smells really strong and really obviously floral, whereas this was when Bloom receives a letter and it's from his lover, and, you know, it's this kind of unconsummated relationship, and he describes it as a small flower that that's pinned to a letter with just this almost no smell. And I thought that was really interesting. I used Arras root, which is a root which smells papery, to give that idea of really a papery scent with just a whisper of rose in it. And I thought that was really nice. It's there's a lot of emotional elements to it. Yeah, it's very entwined. He uses it to really show, even there's an aspect of dream husband when Martha is dreaming of her dream husband, and he makes it one of those compound words. And I thought that was so fascinating. And she links that to a piece of cotton that she keeps in her breast pocket with it has this rose scent in it. And I think it's really, he really explores the full spectrum of emotion in as related to scent.
Yeah, even people who haven't got through the first, who only managed to get through the first page of Ulysses, will probably remember Stately Plump Buck Mulligan and his razor blade, and he makes it into a cross. So to replicate that smell, that I assume you had to do a bit of research into what shaving foam smelt like then and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I actually loved that part of the historical aspect of the fragrance, because of the project. I mean, so for that, I was researching, you know, what shaving foams would have contained at the time. And I saw that they would have contained geranium, lavender, oak moss. And some of these are ingredients that we can't use anymore, like oak moss is hard because of toxicological reasons. So I really was able to have, you know, full freedom to go back and look at these historical texts and dig up this information and bring back something that's as true to life as possible, so that people, when they come in, they're having a real experience of what it would have been like at the time.
Yeah. So, and what's that? Did that involve, were you kind of guessing those ingredients were in there, or did you have to go and ask somebody what it would be?
No, we have archives here. So we're looking like at, you know, all of the old formulas. We have access to them and seeing, you know, we've gathered them, you know, all of the original formulas that would have existed at the time. So we can see, we can read back, we can research that. And for some things, for example, for the fragrance, for the shaving foam, I have access to the archives here. But for some other things, for example, O'Rourke's Bakery, I set off on making the smell of soda bread. And then it was Christine who pointed out, Christine O'Neill, that at the time, soda bread would have been more used in farmhouses, and it would have been more of a sourdough type of bread that would have been in the bakeries in Dublin City. So there really was that level of like depending sometimes in her expertise, and then for the things that were more related to historical sense that existed within IFF here, we have the access to the old formulas.
Yeah. Now, as you said, there's 14 scents you've made, but probably dozens of references to things within the book. Was it difficult to decide what to include and what not to include?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's so much in it. We could keep going, and I think that's the plan. We're going to keep delving into this. It's just the beginning. But I think that we really tried to have a full spectrum this time of things that would cover, you know, even, for example, the repulsive scent. We worked on Beery Men, this idea of, like, Joyce wasn't afraid to explore this idea of scent as being something very visceral and that could have that visceral repulsive effect. Mm. And so we tried to explore as many different aspects of scent as possible, and also pick passages that people would enjoy reading and that would show Joyce's just his pure creativity in the way they wrote. Like, we made one called Melon Smelliness, which I thought was a really playful and cheeky part, and he really plays with words like her mellow yellow smellin. I think that musicality, so some of it was really led by scent, some of it more by historical scents that existed at the time that people would have worn, and some of it trying to show and highlight, you know, at the same time scent but also his playfulness and his creativity and some of his writing.
Yeah, and I think you kind of alluded to it slightly there, that there is a description of the Bailey, the pub that's still open today in Dublin, and sawdust, sweetish, warmish cigarette smoke, reek of plugs, spilt beer, men's beery piss, the stale of ferment. How did you make that one?
That's actually a really fun one to make. I had a great time testing it out with my colleagues, and when I got the, you know, a sufficient, you know, strong repulsed reaction, I thought, okay, now it's done, it's ready. Mm. And so we have hop oil here, and so it's like hop oil gives the beery smell. Then we have tobacco absolute, it's naturally like an extract from tobacco. Then I worked on getting that sawdust feeling with some cedar notes and the tobacco and the cigarette smoke. But then, you know, there's a plant called costus, and it really has that smell of, you know, in a small amount, these ingredients, we call them animalic because they smell slightly reminiscent of animals. They can be slightly, you know, like body smells. But in a small amount, they can bring a lot of sensuality to a perfume. But then when you really ramp them up, they bring about that effect of being a bit more repulsive. And so costus smells like, you know, a scalp if it hasn't been washed for a while, or like a pillowcase that needs to be washed. It's that very greasy kind of body, and it's unmistakably human kind of a smell. And then I used these chrysalic notes that actually exist naturally in flowers, but I mean that was for the more urine scent, and it's very evocative. And I did have fun testing it out on people seeing what I thought.
You're doing all this kind of in conjunction with the French embassy. Is this an exhibition? Is there a display where people can go and read a page and smell what the page is alluding to?
Yeah, so I did it with the Irish Embassy in France, and it was with Niall Burgess, actually, who's a huge fan of Ulysses. And so we just had the event last year on Bloomsday, and then this year on Bloomsday, and now the next discussion point is how to make this more permanent. We sent a set to the James Joyce Museum in Dublin, and we're trying to think about how we can make this a more permanent thing that people can, you know, perhaps in collaboration with the museum in Dublin, that it could stay somewhere more permanently and people can go and access it, and also make up box sets so that we can send to places and share it with people.
Right. Okay. And as you say, it's going to be an ongoing thing, because there are, I think this is a section where Leopold Bloom has a poo. You know, it can get extremely visceral, some of these things.
I know. That's kind of like, I mean, I think that's what the book is. So it actually is still a very contemporary book, because I think that he had no limits really when he did it. Mm. I don't know if that'll be top of my list, but I think that I did want to think like this year, because last year we didn't include the Beery Men, and this year we thought, you know, it's not going to be Joyce unless you really are able to bring those aspects of the book to life too. You know, that's what it's about. It's a very alive book, and it remains so. I think that's why it has such a following today. I mean, it's here in Paris today, there's readings happening at Shakespeare and Company, there's things happening at the Irish Cultural Centre, it's still in all around the world. You know, I love that it still has such a passionate following.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you get to be a perfumer?
Well, I studied science in NUIG, and then I went to Lyon and I did molecular biology, but I actually read an article about it. It's kind of, I don't know if there's one straight path into it. I read an article about a perfumer and I became intrigued. And then afterwards I went to work with an independent perfumer in Geneva. And I was only supposed to stay as his lab assistant. So I was preparing his formulas for him, his perfume formulas, and he was teaching me the basics. And then after that, after a year there, I looked around and I found a job as a perfumer's assistant in the Netherlands. programs with IFF, and I've been with them now 12 years, and they train me internally. And so it's a whole training where they link you up with the master perfumer, and you have to memorize, you know, 2000 scents, but you have to learn them off by, and it's a training that happens over about 5 years. And it really is a whole kind of hidden world, but once you get into it, it really draws you in.
I imagine you need a fairly refined sense of smell for that.
Yeah, I think, you do. I think you definitely need to have a curiosity and ability to, you know, to always want to like find out how things are made and what's in them. But also one thing I found was really interesting was that a key part of the training is learning how to name things and how to describe them. And the more you're able to give names to things, it's almost like the more they exist or the more your perception becomes tuned into it. So I think the vocabulary part is a massively important part of the training process.
In describing what the quality of the smell is.
Yeah, being able to name them and forming this kind of like shared vocabulary that you can have with your colleagues. And once you're able to name something, it's like you're able to identify it and it stays more in your memory. And so now I feel like even when I'm eating something without even wanting to, I analyze it and I think, oh, there's this scent and that scent. And you learn to kind of like break things down and name them. And the fact that you can name them means that they exist more. So it's partially like a physical, maybe that you have a good sense of smell. But the other important part is being able to identify and recognize and memorize things.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Maeve, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Maeve McCurtain there, an Irish fine fragrance perfumer based in Paris.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.